Over the last several weeks, we have been reading through one of Jesus' long teachings in Matthew's Gospel, and he says something quite shocking today. Next week, he gives us a little bit of comfort, but today it's just shock. So if you want the comfort, you'll have to come back next week. Last week, though, is sort of a warm-up. Jesus said, "Do you think I have come to bring peace to the earth? I have not come to bring peace, but the sword. I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother," and so on. "Whoever loves father and mother more than me is not worthy of me," Jesus says. "Whoever does not take up the cross and follow me is not worthy of me." So last week we heard of Jesus coming to cast fire, to disrupt the present arrangements, to disrupt family and social and community life, to bring something new, which is awfully strange. And so then we move from this disruption of our present arrangements, disruption of family and normal routines and life, to consider that whatever discipleship means, whatever it means to follow, it will be other than normal, other than routine. And in fact, as we heard last week, it will involve, or often does involve, some hostility and even suffering. Again, last week, Jesus warned his disciples of the coming persecution. Or even earlier than last week in the gospel, Jesus tells his disciples about the rewards of what it means to follow. But here, instead of rewards, we get these trials, these tribulations, this suffering. That discipleship seems here to be difficult and demanding. But then today, those who welcome you welcome me. Those who receive you receive me. That's the shocking part. That when another welcomes you is the equivalent to receiving Jesus himself. Right? How is that possible? Back in Genesis, God's promise to Abraham, he promises Israel, his beloved, "I will bless those who bless you. I will curse those who curse you. And in you all the families of the earth will be blessed." Sort of an echo there to what Jesus is saying. Those who show hospitality to the followers of Jesus show hospitality to Christ himself. Here the disciples are those who are called to bring Jesus light to the world. But the world resists the light, and so then there is pushback, and the pushback can lead to suffering, persecution, and so on. However, to receive one of these disciples, one of these followers, is to receive Jesus as well as the one who has sent him. Which is this bold sort of link between those who follow Jesus and God, the one Jesus calls the Father. Right? It's Matthew's version of doing what John does, that Jesus and the Father are with the disciples, and they and him, and he and us, and so on. The one who is sent is one with the sender. Jesus, the one who is one with the one he calls the Father, and we are the ones with him. So, he seems to say, those who welcome such people, such followers, positively or negatively, are in some sense responding to Jesus and the one who sends him. So there's this sort of this deep, sort of intimate relationship going on here that I think is really quite strange, if not downright shocking. I mean, the disciples are there to represent Jesus. They're his spokespersons in the world, the kind of a physical embodiment of the Lord's presence and the Lord's message. Of course, that makes the mission of the disciples all the more perilous, doesn't it? It means that they're not immune from the same things, same forms of rejection and persecution and suffering and denial that Jesus undergoes. How the world responds to the followers of Jesus has a kind of life and death significance. We might be tempted to look back and think of the story of Elijah and Elisha, these two prophets. They're welcomed by the widow at Zarephath, and the Shunammite woman, they extend hospitality to these two. In response, both of them, the Lord blesses and has their sons brought back to them. It's a life-changing, life-giving response to those who show hospitality to the ones whom God has sent. But again, Jesus says this shocking thing. Whenever somebody welcomes a follower of Jesus, it's the same thing as showing kindness to Christ himself. Right? It's a weird thing to think about that way. Though I think the person who perhaps got it best was G.K. Chesterton. He was writing about St. Francis of Assisi earlier in the 20th century. And Chesterton writes, "If St. Francis was like Christ in what he did and believed and lived, then Christ, to some extent, was like St. Francis. And it's very enlightening to think of it this way," he says. And in truth, while it's always seemed natural for us to explain St. Francis in the light of Christ, it has not occurred to many people to explain Christ in the light of St. Francis. And he goes on to say, "St. Francis is the mirror of Christ, just as the moon is the mirror of the sun. The moon is much smaller than the sun, but much nearer to us. And being less vivid," he says, "it's more visible to us." So exactly in the same sense, St. Francis is nearer to us. Being a mere human like we are, he is in that sense more imaginable. St. Paul goes on to say something shocking when he calls us, you and me, and us here gathered, the body of Christ. I mean, that seems to be a great claim for us, doesn't it? For the church. This ragtag group of people trying to follow. Those who receive you, those who welcome you, welcome me. Right? Jesus says to the disciples, says to you and me, receiving one of these is the same as welcoming him. The truth of the matter is, we sometimes find ourselves dependent upon one another, and we actually don't like that. Most of you here are very good at helping others, of offering hospitality to others, of welcoming the stranger in your midst, of caring for the little, the least, and the lost. But sometimes we find ourselves dependent upon a stranger, a doctor or a nurse, a neighbor, somebody we just meet on the street. And the deep question, I think, that Christ poses is, can we receive hospitality from such as these in a way that the light of Christ is illumined in the things you say and the things you do? Or to say it another way, when one acts towards us in charity and love and hospitality, do we respond in such a way that Christ is made more real, more visible? The sun is illumined, we, the moon, reflect his light. That's a much more difficult task, I think, in some ways. Jesus blesses those who are hospitable to his followers, his persecuted followers. Receiving Christ's disciples brings with it sort of rewards, some rewards similar to those that await the disciples, but the threats and difficulties that the disciples face as well. Take up your cross and follow. Jesus lists three kinds of people. He lists prophets and righteous persons and little ones. Little ones, of course, can mean children, but it might here mean beginners, novices, those of us at the beginning of the faith, still trying to figure things out, not knowing where we're going. Again, most of the Bible, most of the time, talks about our call to bring hospitality to others, to strangers, widows, orphans, and so on. But here, Jesus puts us in the position of receiving hospitality. And we're much better as givers, I think, than receivers. In fact, my sermon is running exactly counter to the hymn of the day we're about to sing, because it's talking about all the things we do when we give, right? Which is an important thing. But here, at least, I think that Jesus is saying that backwards. How does it feel when we realize our dependence upon a stranger? Right? How do we act in such a way that Christ is made visible and are receiving? This is a kind of evangelism in the church, but it's an odd sort. Again, we tend to think of sharing the faith as what we do. We act, we talk, we live. But here Christ reveals that he is revealed in us, not in our strength, but in our weakness, in our dependence. Our dependence upon others, particularly the hospitality of strangers. And maybe that's one of the marks of being a follower. We who have dared to believe that the risen Christ can actually sort of incarnate in the words and deeds of ordinary people. Part of Scripture calls us to put on Christ. When we are baptized into Christ's life and death and resurrection, we are clothed in new garments, and we become representatives, ambassadors of Christ. And when the world welcomes you, it is receiving none other than Christ himself. That's wonderful news, really, if we can get past it, it's shocking news. God has called us out of our routines and ordinary arrangements, called us out of our families by baptism, by water and the Spirit, into an entire company of people, the body of Christ. And we're called in our weakness to act as Christ acted, to live and be in such a way that others find Christ when they welcome us in. And in doing so, we reflect the light of the one whose name we bear. Thanks be to God. Amen.